Welcome to Bagel Tech Antichrist with me, Ewan Antichrist.
Popular man.
And James is here finally, right in the middle of the credits. He dials out and dials back in. Good man. This show wouldn't be the same if we did it properly. I'm here to discuss the week's technology with a fantastic panel, as usual. Top left, Mr. James Intermittent.
I may be back and forth. I'm having terrible, terrible trouble. It was either going to be crappy iPhone on Skype or just audio, and I haven't decided which yet, and I'm still not sure.
Well, why not do both, mate?
Not entirely sure how that would work. That's a good word.
I've just noticed as well, I've got four different fonts on that page. I forgot to change the others. Never mind, eh? Slick. Next to him, we've got Mr. Steve Naber from the London Mac User Group. How's it going, pal?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, I've had better days, but I'm buoyant.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's been a brilliant week for me.
What have you been up to?
I went to the pub with my good friend, Mr. Banky, yes. Who came into London town the other day.
Now, hang on, because you said you wanted to do the friend finder thing on iOS.
Yes.
And I got the application, and
yes.
You're not following me anyway, so you can't send me a friend request without me following you or something. And I've sent a request to you, and you haven't replied saying yes.
Well, it's failed because it's crap.
It doesn't work.
Oh, it worked for Carl. It worked for one of us, but...
The rest of us know.
But you found the pub there, didn't you, in London?
Yes,
how
I did.
How much were three pints when you went to the bar in London?
£24.50.
For three pints?
Yeah. For three pints.
Holy cow.
And you shouted at the barmaid, didn't you?
No, I didn't shout. I just said, how much?
Started crying.
And she said £24.50, and I went, okay. And I gave 20 quid.
And she wasn't set up to notice you walking in and then say, it will be 24.
I wondered why you came over and said, are you getting them in then, mate? That was obviously the cue.
About half an hour.
Well, that's it, because I was late. I got in on crap train service through your underground.
Your underground?
Oh, yeah, it's Steve's personal underground.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm not talking about that.
Right, mate, you enjoyed the week?
Yeah, very much so. Thank you.
Jolly good.
Yep.
Beneath him, Sarah Gray, our web developer. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you.
Gooding week, or?
No, it's a bit of a grueling week. I can't wait to get to the end of tomorrow.
Jolly good.
I spent the last 2 days with some guy from Microsoft. It's not been particularly pleasant.
What was his name, Barmer? Trying to convince you to stick around? Keep the one customer he's got left?
No. Just talking about the intricacies of SharePoint with a consultant.
SharePoint's good.
Yeah.
As long as you can access it through the net.
Next question.
All right. I thought it was good. And last but by no means least, Ian Grant. I was going to make him come out with something that was witty then, but it wouldn't be funny. How you doing, pal? You've had better days, haven't you?
I've had better days, yeah. Let's leave it at that. I've had better days. But I'm cheering up because it's been good banter so far here tonight. So
some tosser
cheering me up.
Some tosser left a piece of metal lying in the middle of the road on a country lane, and it's no longer in the middle of the road. It's in the middle of your car. Bad luck, pal. having suffered car trouble in the last couple of weeks, I empathise. I'm right there with you, mate. I might have a bit of a laugh at your expense, but then I'd expect nothing less in return. So don't worry about it.
What's happened to the old Merc?
Well, it's still on the drive at the moment, and one of the guys at the rugby club has lent me a Peugeot white van, and I love it. I've got to say, I've been driving it around all week, and it's the bees. I've got everything in there. I just walk. I can live out the back. If I put a single mattress in there, I don't need hotels. There's actually enough room for a shower if I can figure out how to wire it up.
I was
going to
say, what size van is it, Ewan?
I don't know the number. It's a Peugeot white van, but it's big enough for me to nearly stand up in.
Right, well, mobile studio then.
Peugeot white van TARDIS.
I've put 50 quid's worth of diesel in it on Monday, and I've driven down to London and round London and driven back up tonight, and I've still got, I had 3/4 of a tank, I've still got half a tank.
Wow.
The week in technology, what's happened? Well, the Financial Times application has got a boost in readership. It's gone up since September by 300,000. That's pretty good. Apple and Microsoft have joined in with the SOPA thing, which is the stance on Stop Online Piracy Act that's supposedly going to go through and probably looks like it is going to go through and is going to be a very, very bad thing. I wrote an article on RAW versus JPEG. And people think I kill puppies for a living. Microsoft is seeking to buy Yahoo again. We'll have a good chat about that one in a second. And the FA are seeking goal line technology to make sure that they can get the score right in football matches.
And that's only the FA, because the IFA is not so sure, is it?
No, FIFA's FIFA.
FIFA, you have got technology for them now. They don't want to hear that.
Well, bearing in mind that
Frank Lampard's the one that wants to know about it most of all, I think.
Bearing in mind that FIFA is run by a bloke who suggested that women's soccer would improve in popularity if they wore shorter shorts.
And you know, go into what he's been saying this week earlier in the week.
I dread to think what he's probably come out with, because he's an old German who just needs to be put out of his misery.
Where
should we start then? Should we go in for the Microsoft wants Yahoo thing? Because this came out earlier at the start of the week, and Paul Thurrott's blogged about it on his WindowsITPro.com. I feel free to jump in with your understanding, but my first question is, what is there in Yahoo that Microsoft wants so badly?
Can I just say, I read an article about this earlier on, and it seems that all they've done is actually signed a confidentiality agreement, and there are other people, other companies like KKR and other private equity companies, that have also signed confidentiality deals so that they can talk to them in detail about possibility of maybe taking up to 20% before they look at a much bigger offer for any one of those parties. So it isn't just Microsoft that are involved in this.
Yeah, I mean, there's questions about NDAs, but they're saying that there's other interested parties that have refused to sign the NDA.
As well as,
in order to get access to the financial
Microsoft
records.
Microsoft aren't the only ones that have actually signed the NDA.
I mean, if you've got financial record, I mean, what other financial records are Yahoo looking like at the moment?
Yeah, it was...
Yeah, we've got a massively undervalued photography site, and we've got Google. Don't forget Yahoo Answers.
I remember the last time we looked at this.
I still haven't got a reply for that.
Isn't there that gossip site as well? They do.
What's that?
I can't remember what it's called now. I'll have to find out what it is. It's one that's OMG. I think it's called.
I thought one of the interesting aspects of the NDAs was apparently that in there are clauses that any company that signs it is not allowed to form a consortium with anybody else in terms of looking at takeover. So anyone who signed it, you're looking at a one party takeover. So if it's Microsoft, it'll be Microsoft taking over. Or in terms of the stock they buy, they're not going to allow to, buy it out in conjunction with another private equity firm.
See, I would have thought that an NDA is agreement for like benefit, because you're getting to look at the records and they're getting to show you. But in terms of a closed contract, if you're going to stop someone taking an action, you would need some benefit for them. In order to do that, there's got to be a consideration for them, and there wouldn't be a consideration there. You can't restrict someone's action without giving them money to restrict their action.
Yeah, I mean, normally I've signed NDAs before. Normally they are just that. They're just confidentiality that you won't disclose anything you actually see in the course of what you're doing.
Sign NDAs for, Sarah?
Various commercial things I've been involved in the past.
Nice try, Steve.
Okay.
Well, there was that one when...
Nice try, Steve.
Yeah. There was that time when... And then... Yeah, omg.yahoo.com. Thank you, Brian, in the chat room, saying that's what it's for. And Robert saying that mail is good. It was nice the one time I used it a few months back.
I think I've got a nascent Yahoo Mail account. Every time I log in there, there's just 10,000 spam messages.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, you've got people like BT, who are obviously the biggest ISP in the UK, that actually do all their mail through Yahoo. So there are significant numbers of people that do use that mail.
Yeah, Daz in the chat room saying MS were partnering with VC. VCs, he thought. So if that can't be a single takeover, then
no, but maybe VC haven't actually signed the contract.
Well, no, VC would be venture capitalists, I would have thought. No.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant a company called VC. Yeah.
That would imply that Microsoft haven't got the money.
Companies
money
like
to buy them out, right?
Silver Lake and TPG Capital are ones that are interested, which no one's ever heard of, I'm sure. But
And I've heard of heard that KKR are also interested and have signed an NDA as well.
James, your point was?
My point was that, if Apple wanted to buy Yahoo, they just pay cash for it. Microsoft need to dig deep and find some venture capital to be able to buy Yahoo. So obviously it's going to be a big figure, whatever it is.
Microsoft have got a cash reserve of $57 billion. So they've got
cash to
spend.
So why do they need VCs?
Well, because, if you're talking about spending three quarters of your cash reserve. Mm. Buying a product that's got a really underpriced Flickr site.
If you want to look at that, look at the, I know we're slightly getting off the subject, but look at the Virgin Money takeover of Northern Rock this week. They could have bought that outright, but they didn't. They chose to actually go in with another party.
It's a limitation of liability. The look on Steve's face says it all, because he's cruising the net trying to fathom out what the hell's going on.
No, I know it's Tuesday. Did I just hear you say that it would be three quarters of Microsoft's cash reserves to buy Yahoo?
Well, that's assuming you set a price, but it may well be more than $57 billion. But
exactly, don't forget, in 2008 they got a bloodied nose at $45 billion.
Yeah, and how much did they pay for Skype?
And at the time, I'm gobsmacked to think that Yahoo was worth $45 billion in 2008. I really don't see that it's anywhere close to that now.
One of the main reasons for having cash reserves is resisting
takeover, hostile takeover, people buying you.
Mm. And if Microsoft are really thinking of spending that amount of money on Yahoo, I just can't understand.
It would leave them incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah. I guess the only reason for doing it is it's about users, isn't it? It's about the number of users that Yahoo have access into. Mm. And they just want to own those, and that's why they want to buy them through that method. Maybe.
The other interesting thing is that from the way things are at the moment, that Microsoft actually get 12% of the any advertising revenue from because Yahoo used the Microsoft search, and they get 12% of the ad revenue in return. So if somebody else buys it, that puts that revenue at risk for Microsoft.
Quick question for you, Sarah. In the same style as we do on the F1, who could move to where? If Microsoft became available and Insecure for a potential buyer,
what themselves?
Yes. Who do you think who would buy Microsoft?
Do you know, I've been thinking about this today because I read a couple of reports about the. In fact, there was an interesting article on LinkedIn today about people saying that Microsoft are at risk for collapsing. It got me thinking about who could actually buy them. And I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I really can't see it happening. I had a very interesting conversation with somebody at work because we use a lot of Microsoft technology about the risk that we have of doing that. I really don't think Microsoft are that much at risk. I mean, we're on here. We talk a lot about the consumer side of things, and yes, they're not that great apart from the Xbox and the Kinect in the consumer market. But in the business market, they are rock solid, and revenue is growing. And everyone
did you see that Barmer's shareholders have voted on their happiness at his actions, and last year they voted. All the other board members were about 99%.
All the other board members?
Board. Members voted.
Well, it could be either.
I'm nearly bored. Go on.
All the other board members of Microsoft, Mr. Gates, etc., had received 99% backing by the shareholders. Last year, Barmer was 97%. Unfortunately, this year, he's only 91%. Or 92, maybe.
So about another 10 years, and he might be at risk.
Yeah, Barmer's had a good run. Needs to bugger off now.
See, what confuses me is what on earth Microsoft could see in Yahoo, because all Yahoo is something which is just about struggled on in exactly the same markets as Microsoft has singularly failed. You know, Hotmail isn't used anymore. MSN, I don't know how big MSN is, but it's just covering the same ground, as you say, just building up a community where if they focus on their business line, they, at least they know they've got a future there. What are they trying to do? I still don't.
I thought they were trying to diversify. I think you're right. I think they were trying to look at the fact that, how do they compete with Apple? They wanted to diversify. They've tried doing the iPod. They failed. They've thought about the phone. They failed. They've thought about the tablet. They're going to fail at that. I think they're looking around for something that diversifies, changes the face of their business, gives them other outlets, gives them other opportunities and other potential customers for different services. But I mean, I've asked the question in the chat room, how much do you want to pay for Yahoo at the supermarket checkout? And so far, we've only had one offer from David, which is upwards of 5p. So I don't know if that's per share or whether that's total. But
I mean, the only other idea I had is unless your favourite thing, Flickr, they've got their eyes on that to sort of start diversifying with online properties.
Flickr
they've got an equivalent to Picasa from Google.
It's Flickr. I've got to say, I think Flickr is the only thing that's holding up the share price of Yahoo. It's a gold mine, and it's so undervalued at $24 a year.
I was going to say, I think Flickr is the most valuable part of Yahoo right now.
Well, people still use the chat, though. I'm always surprised that people use Yahoo chat. So maybe they're trying to pick up that bit of market to bolster MSN Live in terms of the sort of the chat market.
I mean,
there's that into Skype and they own practically everything.
But like I was saying, Ian, the thing is there's a lot of people that use the Yahoo Mail through third-party ISPs like BT.
Oh, yeah, BT, yeah, they're partnered with them. They've been for years, haven't
they? They hang everything else off it, like chat and Flickr and stuff like that. So people will actually use it just through that.
Yeah.
I just asked a question in the chat room because I know we've got a couple of American brethren in the chat room. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah.
I hope you have a nice day and eat too much and drink too much. But the question was, is Yahoo bigger with the older generation in the US when, you know, the kind of I'm guessing 50-somethings who were in the computer market and Yahoo was the big search engine of the day in the early 90s? Perhaps.
Yeah, they were before Google came.
Maybe along. Being as a bunch of UKers over here, we're looking at it quite featedly, when actually it's a bigger market for search out there than we probably give it credit for. Perhaps.
I think Google dominate that particular market more than anyone else dominates any other market.
Absolutely.
And in fact, only Google can really make money out of it because of the advertising, the information gathering they are so good at, and that's probably why they're cutting back on all their other stuff. They're doing exactly the opposite of Microsoft, in which case they're focusing on the stuff they're good at.
What
do you mean we're talking about with them killing Wave?
I got the email about Buzz. Wave today.
Yeah,
Wave's going. It is off, isn't it?
End of April.
Never mind. We'll wave goodbye. Oh,
I like the way they put it in the email about it being, what was it? It was the sunset or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, sunsetting over the waves.
I think the last word on this fittingly should go to Google. I've just typed in a question about to try and find out what Yahoo actually owns as a corporation. And it comes back with, did you mean, does Yahoo own Google?
Thank you. Eat your dreams.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Apple and Microsoft have joined Nintendo in the support of the Internet Censorship Bill. What's it called again? The Stop Online Piracy Act. Is this an American only thing, obviously, but is it something that... That's touched anyone? Is it, because, you know, this kind of bill usually signals something that's usually not very good.
Yeah.
For censorship. And did you see that the people opposing are Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Zynga?
Fight.
There's a big old fight coming. They've got you've got Apple, Dell, McAfee. I mean, Adobe, McAfee, and Symantec are probably the ones that are most hacked and ripped off. Along with Microsoft, Apple. So there's a real divide there, whereas look who's on the other side of the fence. People that don't sell anything. Apart from Zynga, perhaps, but...
Yeah, the Stop Online Piracy Act is an American thing.
Yeah.
So whether it will come over, whether it will sort of be a thing that we'll get our government ideas and stuff. Well, we're already getting that a little bit, haven't we? Because
Digital Economy Act is
I was just gonna
pretty
say,
draconian.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
It's a random collection of technology companies. Everyone's in there, aren't they? Just on different sides.
Yeah, but I think there's a definite divide, isn't there? You can look and clearly see that the people that manufacture and sell software are on the one side of protection, and the people that have open source or social community are all on the other side.
I was going to say, I wonder if Sony's got involved yet, but they probably want to develop their own personal type of bill, wouldn't they?
No, EA and Sony are already backing the bid. So
didn't surprise me at all.
No. I don't know what software Sony actually generate, though.
Well, it's the PlayStation.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah, because people have been hacking the firmware on the consoles, and they get really upset about it.
Jolly good. And when you want to put Linux on it.
Yeah, they stopped. You can't do that anymore.
Oh, well, you can if you didn't do the update, though, can't you?
Yeah, if you left it back.
The opposition have created full page advertisements in the New York Times, saying that how disappointed they are and how much they want it to take place. And the subscribed ones are AOL, Mozilla, eBay, Twitter, Facebook, Yahoo, Google, LinkedIn, and Zynga.
Wow!
Just for anyone who's listening to this, so the advert that they've put, a full page advert. And it's black and white, standard text, boring font, just, and then the names at the bottom, Google, Facebook, Yahoo. I can't imagine Apple or the creative companies putting together an advert which looks so boring. You'd never read any of that. Just look at this. Like, paragraphs of just boring text.
Oh, no.
It isn't good.
No one's going to read that.
No one's going to read it, are they? They're not going to stop.
It's written by a lawyer.
Not that we're suggesting anything about lawyers.
No. That wasn't meant to be disparaging. It was meant to be an observation, as in who else would actually publish something like that, that in an advert that people obviously clearly aren't going to read, because anyone in marketing would just tell you straight away that there's... You just don't do that.
At this point, I'd like to mention Mo Hussein, who's my barrister at Warwick Solicitors. He's a stunning bloke, and he's not boring. Just because he's a suit.
Have you had calls to refer to recently?
Ewan, I wasn't having a go at legal people. All I was making an observation is that Joe Public is not going to read five pages of stuff in an advert.
Trust me, mate, he's not sensitive, as I am not either.
He doesn't shoot well, then.
I have known to have a go at lawyers in the past, in general terms, but not on this occasion.
Why not? As much as I dislike and disapprove of piracy, censorship is never to the way they go forward, and is not a means to combat it, says Robert in the chat room. Ian Ross says, that's why Microsoft are buying Yahoo to stop their vote. But it's going to be an expensive way. It's cheaper than to have taken out a full-page advert. Anyone read the Financial Times on their mobile site?
Not on there. I've been known to buy the newspaper from time to time.
Apparently, it's become really, really popular. They've got a 20% increase in their subscriptions in the last month. They've got 300,000 readers have joined since late September. And there's a little graph, and the graph's really kind of cool, actually, because it outs a few people for the way that they've looked at it. Where's it gone? Here we go. And the graph is saying that online readership... Have you got that graph there? Yeah, you've got it now. Here we go, chat room. It's an interesting little graph, because it's saying that between 5 a.m., 6 a.m. and 9 a.m, everyone looks at it on their smartphone or tablet. So this is you on the tube, Steve, isn't it?
But, is this looking at it on their app or online?
It's online, I think, isn't it? Their mobile site.
Yep.
Okay, because I now have switched to reading the Times on the app. We pay £6, £8 a month.
Are you talking about the Times or the Financial Times?
Sorry, I'm talking about the Times. Right. I really think there's a move of people moving away to reading things on the app. Just like my cool pick tonight as well. I will. But no, I do think there will be a move to people moving it on their app. and maybe not their mobile site. So if this graph is saying online readership is in their website, I'm not sure why. I would have thought people are moving to apps now, but
I mean, the question I got in my head was whether this signaled that that subscription models are improving, because so far you've got the daily application, which is, from what I understand in the States, has died an absolute death, has done no take up here whatsoever. And I didn't think that any of the newspapers were doing well because of the fact people were just cruising what they could get off websites in general and going through Google News.
Well, for me, or for us, a newspaper here is it 50p a day, the actual Times?
Yeah, it's 50, 60.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, and the Sunday Times, which is the big one, that's the big heavy-duty one.
2 quid, isn't it now, yeah.
3 quid?
Yeah, £2.50.
And then the Saturday Times is £1.50, something like that. So rather than that, I can turn on my iPad, and I do pay a subscription of £8 a month. But for £8 a month, I'm getting all of the Sunday Times, which are the same price as £8, plus I get all of the daily newspapers, plus all of the Saturday ones as well. So for me, it's the way to go, because it's good.
Yeah.
Good.
And unlike the Sunday Times, which has got far more words in it than you could ever read in 7 days, actually read it.
Well, unless you carry it around with you. And I think that's the beauty of the distribution model. It really does seem to work.
Yeah, and you know, you can keep stuff. If there's an article in there, you can keep that and not have to carry the whole newspaper around with you.
I mean, we used to get the Sunday Times when we first moved in to this house, and it used to sit, half of it sat unopened all week. It would sit on the footstool in the lounge, and I'd pull bits out and have a read of odd bits on the Sunday when we were sitting down watching a movie or something like that. And then it would sit there for the rest of the week, and 50 to 70% of it was never even opened. And then it would go in recycling.
There are so many other drags to our time than just sitting down and reading a newspaper now. Screens are so much more in front of us. And I think, I mean, to be honest with you, when I saw 2.5 million subscribers, I thought that's a massive, because it wasn't long after it launched. They were struggling to get a couple of 100,000.
The Sunday Times, says Daz, is cat litter tray liner for 1 week. Very good. Max says in the room, in the chat room, I don't believe in paying for newspapers when most of the time you can look on the news on the web. So that's the next question to you then, Steve. Where's the attraction of having the application as opposed to finding the general reporting of news online? Is it really the appealing to your social sensibilities of you know, I take the Times because it speaks to me in the way that I want to hear, rather than having to go through CNET, CBS, CNN websites and cruise up and down a different type of writing styles with different political persuasions to find out what I want to read?
I think the Financial
Times...
That
was a question to Steve, sorry, sir.
That's all right. Go on, sir.
Sorry, sir, go on then.
I was just going to say, I think the Financial Times is slightly unique in this respect. They do... they're obviously a very specialised market in terms of not just general news. They focus on the business sector, and they do an awful lot in depth. And I think that's a specialist market. And to some extent, that does actually give them a niche in terms of actually, you know, what, trying to attract people for subscriptions.
Yeah, I mean,
specialist news, isn't it? That,
yeah,
very. Well, Wall Street Journal's done very well on subscriptions, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sorry,
and
Steve.
Just reading the comments in the chat room, Paul's saying that the information in newspapers is out of date. And similar comments saying newspapers, basically, I read my news online, etc. Yeah. The news, as in tech news, I read online, and actual news... political news, etc., online. But there's, for me, the Sunday Times gives me things like recipes that I might fall across, or I don't know, stupid things like fashion. Like, I'm never interested in that, but just random things that are just presented in a nice way that can capture my interest, and I'll read that article on a particular viewpoint. The Clarkson articles and just stuff like that that I don't want to search for. In a way, when you go to the internet, you want to search for something to then read that article. With the Sunday Times, I can just open it up and just fall on something and then read it in a lazier way than if I'm on the internet and just kind of go for it in a direct way that you have to with search. So it's for the £2 is per, well, no, it's less than that, isn't it? Per episode or per,
it's not much at all. I was just going to say that it's interesting how you compare that to what The Guardian's done. And if I look at my Facebook, updates now, so many people are logging, I read this on The Guardian, I read that on The Guardian. They've gone for a completely different approach where they're marketing through free publishing and then the social media picking it up and turning it into a distribution model, which I think is quite clever. And it's a completely opposite of what The Times is doing.
Mm.
But I think they're still making money out of it by using the online ads. And I think actually the two models are diverging so profoundly that you may end up with a two-tier system with the traditional subscription system and this new online. Because if I were to get my news, I'd get it online. I don't think I'd have a single point. I don't think I trust a single point of news, and therefore I wouldn't put a subscription on one. As you say, I think it's more of an interesting read for the Sunday Times rather than an actual narrowing down on particular news stories. So yeah, it's interesting that these different models.
I think the Sunday Times is one of those things that passes out a pile of news. And editorial to people,
editorial,
and you're built. It's built for you to dab into. It's not built for you to read.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it's one thing I've noticed. I mean, I've started taking the iPaper instead. That kind of tabloidy thing. That's brilliant for what it is. And they've got an app as well. They've got an app as well. That little dabble around I've had with that looks great.
And which do you favour here? Do you favour the paper version or the app version?
Paper at the moment, I quite 20p. You can't grumble, can you? Really, it's just enough to sit and read on the train if I'm on a trip somewhere. Or even the Saturday one is quite good. It's enough to sit there and read. If it's enough that I can find an hour to sit there and actually sit and read it. Apart from when it gets towards the back with the art section, which, to be honest, I always get my old my working class anger on them when I start seeing bits at the end of the paper. They're not all this to Sicily, the usual knobby bits, but otherwise it's good paper.
Sorry, Ian. The thing I noticed, because I recently went back to reading it.
For the knobby bits defence, Steve Neighbour.
Hi. The thing I noticed when I went back to the newspaper recently, the actual newspaper, which was so weird, it's so big, was how many adverts there are. When you look at the iPad version compared to the paper version, there's a lot more adverts in the in the paper version. And we were reading the Sunday Times very quickly and skipping past all of the articles, where it takes you actually a fair bit of dedication to go through the paper version.
Question in the chat room about Flipboard. So where does all of this sit with Flipboard when it, you know, you've got something that's an intelligent aggregator of your preference, you know, TiVo for news, effectively?
I disagree.
You disagree? Go on then.
TiVo searches for what you like and then records things in accordance with what you like. Sunday Times, I can pick it up and not like any of it and then skip through it and read articles that it wouldn't have known I would be interested in. I'll read articles about Ugg boots or an article about I don't know, something that I'm no interested in, whereas Flipboard will quickly learn what I like and will show me what I like. So I like the randomness.
I'm a bit lost as to why that's an argument against Steve. I don't want the thing that gives me what I like. Absolutely not.
I like the randomness of the newspaper.
There is something to be said for the serendipity of expanding horizons, and this is something that people have been writing about recently. In all the way these social media sites are focusing your attention on your own niche, you can actually lose sight of the stuff that you wouldn't know about and would be otherwise it would have a passing interest in, because otherwise, if you focus on your own community, on the only things you're interested in, you do end up being quite narrow-minded as a consequence of it.
Good conversation. Kindles are getting damaged by airport scanners, allegedly. Sarah's turned at this article. I've put a link there in the chat room if you want to click on it. Travellers have been warned that their holiday reading plans could be disrupted at the airport by their security measures, following reports that Amazon's Kindle reader can be damaged by X-ray scanners. Multiple complaints from users that their Kindle was ruined by baggage check promptly claims that radiation permanently affects the device electronic ink display.
Stay in your homes.
Yes. Pull up the bed sheets and pull on the tin hat. After my Kindle went through the X-ray scanner at Madrid Airport, it no longer worked. I had been reading an e-book on the way to the airport, so I knew There would be no other reason, said Michael Hart from London. Anyone got a Kindle?
Not yet.
It doesn't say whether it's Gen 1 or Gen 2, though. So
I'm planning on, hopefully Santa's going to bring me one for Christmas, actually. That's what I'm hoping.
Next year will be the year of the Kindle.
So you think, James, next year is going to be the year that the Kindle actually thrashes Apple?
Not necessarily the thrashes Apple. It's the year that it becomes affordable and becomes the you know, if you go to the Amazon site, they're pushing the Kindle. The price is just so accessible now. It's less than as it was. You know, used to think about things like the Nintendo DS or a device of about the same sort of size was 250 quid. The price has come down to such a low amount now that people just go, oh, I'll take one of them as well. And it opens up a huge new world for them for reading books.
£89.
And Amazon are really pushing it.
Mm.
It's so attractive at 89 quid, it really is. I mean, the Fire's getting a bit of a hammering in the US, I've noticed, and some of the reviews I've been picking up, it's very polarizing. It's Marmite, they either love it or hate it.
It's RAW versus JPEG.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
That's got to be a show title.
No, it hasn't. Trust me, it hasn't. If anyone feels like writing a comment on my blog post on PC Pro, just kind of supporting me in any way, I don't want you to write it if you don't, but if you don't agree with me, fine, say so. But
and we will write it for you.
I'll tell you what to write. You'll write it.
Let's do it live on the show. Each of us go and put a comment on.
Well, next time I'm boiling kittens in the kitchen, I shall look fondly on those that have written something supportive in there. And come the Revolution Brothers, you're all done for.
The Big Tech Bash next year, then.
I'm going to find out we're going to find out what he's written. Okay.
Hey, number 38, last.
Good man. Kindle, don't get in there early, Steve. Kindle keyboard version 3G, 3G plus Wi-Fi is £149, and the new Kindle that's just Wi-Fi only is £89 at the moment, which is great.
Has any of our States listeners who are in the chat room got any of the new Kindles?
Fire, you mean?
Yeah, can you give us a quick review? Maybe?
A quick fire. Really, give us a quick fire review.
Quick fire review.
Oh, very good, very good.
Coming up Christmas.
And really, there's not been much news, really, over and above that. It's kind of boring afterwards. So,
Well, there's breaking news about malware coming out onto the iPhone platform.
Malware, did you say?
Oh, that's right, yes.
I just saw it on the BBC News site quickly. The Black Friday iTunes malware alert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, heard about that.
Well, I didn't get a chance to read it, but I just saw something.
Do tell us more.
Criminals are targeting internet users with a new gift certificate scam, according to security experts. Users receive an email that claims before iTunes Store and warns that you've got a zip file here with a freebie code, click this, click that, and you'll get a nice little Windows virus, by the looks of things.
Well, Steve, before the show, you and I were discussing about social engineering of malware, and you were saying that you get a lot of links through on Twitter now, and typically before they were like, click here for big tits, but now you're saying they're getting quite sophisticated.
Oh, kind of. The one that almost got me was somebody on Twitter sent me something like, oh, I've just heard a really bad, some bad words about...
Bad review about you.
In the blog, yeah. I think you should have a look. And then...
I nearly clicked that. I got that one a few weeks back.
Yeah, that was quite clever.
But no, that was true, Ewan.
It's really good. Ewan said, really good social engineering, so really encourage you to click.
There's some really nasty stuff going on. I heard a report just the other day who somebody's Twitter account got hacked. They broadcast direct messages to everybody saying, I've just been mugged at the airport, lost all my money. And somebody sent these people who'd taken over the account actual they wired cash to these guys. It's horrible what people can do now using social media if you're not expecting it.
That you can have is you can have photos that are quite graphic, just sent to you out of the blue. I can deal with that, but you kind of hold back on recommending Twitter to people who you might. Yeah, you know, my mum's on Facebook now. I'm quite happy with that. But I wouldn't recommend Twitter because you could end up getting sent all types of photos straight away.
I would have said
away.
There was an equal amount of scams in Facebook, if not more.
Well, it was the big thing, the porn attack last week or the week before.
Yeah, there was old Justin Bieber's sex scandal.
Yeah.
Who?
Justin Bieber was, if you clicked some links. Who's Justin Bieber, yeah.
He's not in the Sunday Times.
You've been on a different planet, old boy. Well, no, that's not a good thing to say, is it? But no, the thing that really surprises me or quite shocks me, I've been at three different organisations this week, and each of those have got swipe cards. And at two of them, I've been asked to... I've got a security card which is authorised for me, which I pass over a reader, which lets me through a door. But when I get through the door in reception, they make me sign in a book again. And I'm sitting thinking, you know, we sit and talk about high level of technology throughout the course of the week. And actually, at the realistic level, you're talking about less than 5% probably of the total world's population have got any clue whatsoever about what they're doing with technology. The rest still want you to sign in after you've swiped in.
And the signing in for the book isn't so they can take the book outside in case of a fire drill or something?
Well, no, I mean we're going back. I worked for Nestle 15 years ago. And I had a security card for Nestle, and it logged me wherever I went. So when you swiped in at Halifax, it would register the fact that you'd gone into Halifax. It would automatically add you to the fire roll. So when you had a fire, the Genie system would give out a little roll of tape that you'd take out and you'd read out the log to make sure that everyone was out. And it also tracked you, so it knew when you had left a site and when you had arrived at the next site, and it looked at the journey time and that kind of stuff, not to be Big Brother, but basically if it had got women that were travelling on their own, it knew how long the journey should take roughly, and if they knew where they were going based on calendar, you could raise an alert for it. It was like a massively integrated system. It was absolutely superb. And now I go to some places and they make me swipe in with a security card. They don't log the fact that I'm there because they have to make it go into a book for the fire purposes of registers. But that technology was done and dusted 15 years back. You know, we're talking about a text file here, aren't we? We're not talking about high level stuff.
No, that's right.
No, there's most of those systems actually usually part of the fire drill when the fire alarms go off. It spits out a roll call of the building as far as it's aware, whoever signed in.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You know, we sit and talk about phishing scandals and things like that, and they're incredulous about how people have actually managed to click on it. Yet, actually, the level of intelligence for technology across the rest of the general planet is many, many scales below where even we're currently at, and I wouldn't class myself as being particularly good.
Well, the reason for that is mainly because people work on the principle that their security systems, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Unless all it will take is one major break-in or even one nearby, and they'll just hammer down on it straight away. And it tends to be a reactive thing because people don't want to spend money on things that they don't have perceived need for. Unless, of course, you have a massive company like Nestle who can afford to do it because they need to keep their secrets.
Very good. This show and all the others like it would not be possible without the support of UK2.net. They are the people that keep us afloat, and we are desperate pleased for you to support them. They do look after us very heavily. All of the bandwidth gets picked up for all of the shows. Doesn't matter how many people download us. We've got my little X of, and on the other side for the bandwidth, you know, it's just got an infinity symbol, and that's it. We've got infinite bandwidth, and it's thanks to UK2. Please, if you can, support their efforts because they support ours, and the sponsorship we get from them, we couldn't buy anywhere else, really, to be honest. If you go to our website, click on the link, and that will also then pass you through to them. Even if you just want to sign into your account, please take the time to go via our webpage, because then it just reinforces that you're a returning customer who originally came through Bagel Tech. They're very happy with that. And don't forget the offer codes. Bagel Tech is the offer code to get 15% off your shopping basket, and Bagel DNS you can use as well as if you're transferring a domain in, and that gets rid of the DNS management charge that's kind of unique to UK2, but Bagel Tech listeners don't have to pay that, so that's wiping £15 off your bill straight away. UK2.net, please support them. We love them to bits. Right then, it's time for the cool thing. James, do you have a cool thing for us?
I do. For a long time, I mean, I've always had a bit of a problem with soft keyboards on phones. I love a tactile keyboard underneath my thumbs. But what I've ended up looking at is replacement keyboards for Android phones, because the layouts can vary. one of the problems with the one I've got on my Samsung is that just to the right of the space bar is the options button. So I'll be typing something, miss hit the space bar and go into the options screen, and I don't want to do that. And the one I've plumped on at the moment is called Perfect Keyboard Free. And I really like it. It's functional, it's quick. Because I've noticed that some keyboards actually have lag to them, which is really frustrating. And I've really taken to it. But what I would recommend is, if you do find yourself frustrated by the keyboard on your Android, have a look through the marketplace, download all the free ones, and just work your way through the ones until you find one you like. But my choice for this evening is definitely Perfect Keyboard Free, because it's quite configurable as well.
I'm guessing it's in the chat room. Free.
This particular one is free. There is an expanded version. I'm not entirely sure what it does, but you can pay £2.79 for the non-free version.
James? I think it's,
yeah?
I have a view that you walk down the street with your phone and a spare keyboard.
It's virtual, I think.
This is the layout of the keys at the bottom half of the screen.
Yeah, it's a program for virtual layout.
You see, this is the thing that really amuses me, is the fact you can't do it on the iPhone, but the iPhone keyboard is amazing. It works.
I do. Well, I've got big pork sausages, mate, and I struggle a little bit with getting it to work properly. I've hit a lot of wrong keys of late.
But there are so many different ways of interfacing with it. You know, obviously you've got swipe, and you've got these other ones which make the key slightly bigger that it thinks you're going to press next, which is quite clever. There's loads of these different technologies and techniques. So it's worth having a shop around and see what you can find.
Do you get, through the Android phone, do you get like a little kinesthetic feedback when you hit it?
Yeah, that makes
a lot of difference. I've enjoyed that when I've had a go in the past. Yep. Most definitely. Do you get physical add-on keyboards as well that work? You know, like the little raised buttony type things and...
I haven't seen any of those. I mean, I've got a Bluetooth keyboard, but the fact is it's bigger than the phone itself.
Mm.
And if I want to sort of sit in front of it and type, fine, but I can't do it while I'm walking along, because as Steve said, I'd end up looking a bit of a prat with one keyboard in one hand and my phone in the other. Although you can.
And what are you going to type with? Phone in one hand, keyboard in the other. Type with my nose.
Look up for the 80s.
Or at least stop me banging into lampposts.
Jolly good. Steve, your fantastic pick. You've been building this up all night, mate. This better be snot hot.
Oh, bugger. all credit to PC Pro, actually. I'm... it's not the website with your... I'm disappointed with the chat room. Nobody has defended you in the past hour on the article. I'll post it again in the chat room. No. PC Pro have gone to put their magazine, which is £5.99, £6.99 or £7.99 normally. But they've put it into the App Store. So you can download each issue, and it's £2.99 per issue on the iPad. For me, that's a really good way of reading it. It's a lot cheaper than the... that's the thing that I really like. It's a lot cheaper than the print version. And I wish all of these other producers would do something similar in terms of their price. So the electronic version is really good. It's a full magazine version. And they're all good articles in there, so I'd recommend it.
Thanks, mate. Totally good. And thank you for your words of support on my article.
Where's the rest of them? Come on, everyone.
Where's the rest of them? That's exactly. Gits, come on. The least you can do is support me. Otherwise, I'm shutting the chat room for Mac tomorrow.
Steve, does it float with the screen all right? The text, or is it just a PDF?
What, the PC Pro?
Yeah.
No, it's a magazine article. It's a magazine app, so it's full swipey, zoomy in. Full screen, just like the Sunday Times one.
Cool. So it's not just a PDF wrapped up in a...
Not as many recipes.
No, it's full... hyperlinks. That's really nice.
James, did you just say not as many recipes? And it saves the trees too, says Ian in the chat room. Jolly good.
That's
man.
Always
absolutely.
Good.
£2.99.
Oh, it's not Ian, it's Lane. See, I told you I should have put my glasses on. Lane Ross. Sorry, Ian. Lane. I'll have to take a look at the article,
Ian,
you and...
Ian E. Ross.
Ian E. Ross. Oh, it could be Ian E. Ross. Sorry, Laney, E&E. Let us know which one, please, mate. I don't want to insult you any further. I'm in enough trouble.
It's an I.
It's an I.
Yeah, I-A-N-E.
No, it's Ross, a capital I. There we go.
Ian is Ross. It? It's a capital I. I didn't think there was a gap. I'll put my glasses on in a minute.
It's not capital I.
This is good audio. Sarah, what's your pick?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I'm being tardy this week. I haven't actually got one. Sorry.
Oh, back to the old form then. Jolly good.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you never used to have one before.
One week I haven't got one.
And Ian, I mean, I feel you've got an excuse. Sarah knew she was coming a week ago, but you knew you were coming about 25 minutes before we started. So if you don't have one, but if you have...
Oh, I've got something I've been looking at this week. It's a kind of, it could be a bit of a will pick in terms of, I think it's brilliant this week and it might be pants next, but FreeNAS, which is a brilliant little thing you can put on a USB boot stick and turn an old PC into a NAS server. And I've been looking at this, and it's incredibly versatile. You can add things like a media streaming server to it. You can add VirtualBox server, so you can run virtual machines out of it. You can make a torrent server if you do those kind of things. We download your Linux ISOs, of course. Use Net Server again for downloading your torrent. But it looks a really neat, little versatile little thing. So I'm gonna have to have a proper mess about with it.
Now, free. It's obviously free, but I mean, what are we talking about in terms of the geek level for setup?
I boot a CD, install it on a memory stick, boot it back up, log into a web page, click a few boxes.
Away you go.
Pretty easy, pretty straightforward.
So, are we talking Steve's mother's level, or are we talking James Hart's level, or are we talking my level?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you could probably get away with doing it.
Even me?
Even you, yeah.
Now, you're at the top of that pile, James, don't worry.
It's a cool system. There's another one called OpenFiler, which is a similar thing.
But
have
Steve, please.
It out for us?
Free NAS. Free
NAS.
NAS, yeah.
NAS, I'll check that.
There's actually a Wikipedia on a article as well, isn't it? But you've got to put up with Jimmy Wales staring at you. That's the only problem. Ooh, those eyes, dude. That one picture is. It's Silence of the Lambs.
Almost.
It's a bad, bad picture. Whoever took that, dude, they took your money. They stole it. My pick. Fantastic pick. Thanks to Acklaw 01101 Carl. He does all of our show bookings and gets everyone to turn up on time and does a great job because it is the hardest job on the planet, I promise you. John Briggs was going to be with us tonight, but he's been called in to something that's not going right and he's got to do the voices for it. So he's had to drop out at the last minute. He's very, very apologetic, but he will hopefully be back next week. But my pick is an iPhone app. It's called Travel Deluxe. And it's 69p in the iPhone store, and it's brilliant. It uses GPS to work out where you are, and if you've told it where your home location is and you're pissed up, all you've got to do is hit the home button, and it will give you the exact times of all the multiple ways you've got of getting home from where you've finally got yourself. I would say that this is a must-have phone application for any stag party, especially for the groom. Because when he sat there naked with one eyebrow in Perth at 1 a.m. on the day of his wedding with a bad sore throat and maybe some other sore stuff, this will get him home. It's great.
Would it actually tell you, because the mystery for me is how I got home. Will it tell you how you actually got home? Because that would be really cool.
Well, I mean, if you followed this application, I bet it's actually fairly easy. The instructions are really, really good. And it gives you the individual times as well of the buses and trains. So
you can just show it to someone and go,
ugh. No, basically, the GPS will move you and it'll tell you where to go and stand.
I was going to say, you've got to be sober enough to read it. That's the other thing.
No, I mean, basically, this thing says, here's the train times, here's the bus times. You can get this bus, or 3 minutes later, there's another bus, but that means you've got a connecting bus here that you've got to get. And it tells you exactly to the minute when you're going to arrive at your location.
That's good. I mean, that's great. It sounds like the TFL Journey Planner.
It's
Which is a similar sort of thing, but it's very good.
Oh. There's an article that Dirty Box has just put in the chat room, but we can't do it. We haven't got enough time. Bad luck. We'll be back again next week with a brand new panel and a fantastic lineup, and hopefully there'll be some news. Eric Lanigan's not well this evening, so we hope he gets better. He's been up to the air room. He's been a bit sick, apparently. Get well soon, Eric, please, and we're looking forward to you coming back into the fold. We missed you desperately. James, where can everyone get hold of you?
On Twitter, SYZYGY, and I'm going to be in Oxford tomorrow for no readily apparent reason.
Good lad. Excellent. Steve, where can we get you?
London Mac User Group or Clapham HQ on Twitter.
Always keen for new members.
Yes.
So where do they get you if they want to be a member?
The London Mac User Group. Elmug. Just put that into Google and the rest will be easy.
But they can turn up at the Wood Pub and drink beer and talk Mac.
Oh, yeah. Come drink a beer with us. That's what we're good at. We go second Monday of every week.
It's that good a night.
Every week.
It has been this week. It has been for the last few weeks. Yeah, no, it's a good crowd. Just tap Elmug on Google or Facebook and send us a message and come along.
Excellent. Thanks, mate. Sarah, where can we get you, missus?
You can get hold of me on the Twitters at SarahJaneUK and also on the last of the season Bagel Tech F1 show on Monday night.
Oh, hey. I'd forgotten about that.
Forget about that.
Yeah, of course.
Offended.
It's the last. No, I'd forgot there was a bloody race on. It's the last F1 show on Sunday night. And of course, on Monday, it means that we'll be analysing the results. Not very much. But what we will be doing is Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart. And it's the last one as well. So we're going to have to go out on a high.
Are we going to do awards for the season?
I think we should have an award show. That would be ideal. We should make a trophy and all sorts.
I was going to say, I think we should have a separate show for that.
Russ in the chat room, mate, can you do us a little graphic with a goal F1 Oscar-y type thing?
Mm.
Go on, mate. You know you can.
How about we do that over Christmas?
We could too. Well, I'd rather do it Monday. And everyone's got to pick Only Their Mother. There we go. What does P-triple-F mean? Is that... No. Oh, I'll see what I can do. Okay. Okay, got you. That won't be literally enough. And last but by no means least, you've got Eric Lanigan on your lower third, dude. I'm so sorry. It was that swift you coming on. Where can we get a hold of you, Ian?
I'm always at the usual place. Turn it off and back on again. TIOABOA on Twitter. You'll find me there chuntering occasionally as time permits.
Excellent.
Oh, Eric Lanigan. It's ERIKLANIGAN.
If you want to follow him on Twitter, yeah. Or ericlanigan.com. Eric@ericlanigan.com. Send him some well wishes. Tell him we hope he gets better soon because he's a lovely bloke and we need him back in the fold. Fast as. See you next week. Hope you have a great week. I'm going to go off and write a follow-up article to why Raw is lazy, actually, for photographers. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll read the next one. Please put some nice comments on, because everyone thinks I'm an utter bastard.